Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One. Ladies and gentlemen, a new nut hath arrived. April ushers in the return of not just spring, but a new Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes a sample pack of Brewpub Jerky. Jerky, expertly crafted to drink with beer. We've also got a sample pack of Renewed Chaga Chino to make sure your coffee isn't just giving you jitters in the morning. When you're putting shrooms or snickerdoodle coffee mate in your cup of joe, make sure you rinse it after. This month, we've got a mug to remind you to do just that after you're done. And finally, you know the guys from Caviar Farm well enough by now. And this month, you'll get a $25 off coupon to be used site-wide at thecaviarfarm.com. We're not sure how we did it, but this entire box is just $25 at CorollaDrinks.com. Sign up for one or keep the shipments coming at CorollaDrinks.com. Is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. It's Joseph McDonald, to get on. Welcome to the best hour or so in the universe. It's Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla, Mark Garagus in studio.
Having fun. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here.
You and your bright blue. You're looking very dapper today.
Thank you.
While I was, before I came in and when I was making you wait, I just got a, somebody had called me regarding, you know, I just come down from San Jose and we're representing Cain Velasquez and the alleged perpetrator, predator who was released without bail. Even though Cain is still in bail, on bail, his lawyer was complaining today, apparently, because he had a court appearance, I believe, yesterday, which he didn't even bother to show up to court. He zoomed in, even though my client is in custody in shackles when he comes to court.
Are people still riding this COVID thing for that? Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, and then I think there must have been some people who are angry about it. Like, why is Cain in custody in shackles and you've got this guy, you know, zooming in, so to speak. And then apparently his lawyer, I don't know the lawyer, but is complaining that all the publicity is making it hard for him to get his client to get a fair trial and is security concerns. Isn't that wonderful? So my response, I wanted to hear your take on this, but my response was, we'll just go back into custody.
Right?
Then you'll be secure.
Completely.
24/7 security. You won't have to worry about...
No safer place for an alleged pedophile than in prison.
I agree with you. And I'm also told, I don't know if this is true or not, but I have it on pretty good authority, that they released this accused pedophile. And guess where he's living?
Apparently, the Neverland Ranch.
Closer. apparently, a stone's throw from a preschool. Isn't that wonderful? That we not only let him out with no bail, if this is true, I'm prefacing it with if it's true, they, no bail, but he's apparently living a hop, skip, and a jump, literally a hop, skip, and a jump, from a church nursery school, which... we have clinically lost our minds as a criminal justice system, and there's no better way of putting that. There's also a picture I love. I didn't notice this. This was yesterday, day before yesterday. That's Alexandra from our office. While I'm at the podium, Alexandra is very sharp. You know what she does? She knows that the cameras don't want a picture of the back of my head at the podium. She jumps into the jury box where the client is, and he's signing there, right, Gary?
Yeah, I think that's I Love You.
Yeah, to his family.
Oh, so there's Cain Velasquez, shaved head, mask on, shackles. I'm not sure what they call those arm shackles. Goes around your waist, and then it your hands are shackled to the chain around your waist. Gives you about 6 inches of movement, I guess, but you couldn't get your hands over your head or smoke a cigarette or anything like that. Very interesting.
You also would have trouble diddling a little one. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, so the accused predator would be you know, if you're worried about public safety, that would be a good way to kind of lock him up. But it's amazing to me. Here you've got the father of the victim locked up as public enemy number one, and you've got the other guy out in close proximity, apparently, supposedly, to a nursery school on no bail, complaining about the publicity and his chances of getting a fair trial and his security.
So you had, what was it, May 5th or 15th?
May 6th. We go back on May 6th.
Just off. Right. Yeah. Before you go back. And you'll have another hearing.
Correct.
And it'll be a bail hearing?
Yeah. We're going to have a bail hearing and presumably get some more of the what's called discovery in the case. And I'm hoping to get Kane out on that date.
You will introduce more discovery to help make your case for bail.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
There's more things that have developed that shed light on what was really happening here. And I'm not going to preview. Well, I'm previewing it, but I won't get into the drill down into the weeds.
Did you say it was in Sacramento or
San Jose, but it's the Santa Clara Court.
Mm-hmm.
Which over the years I've done a number of cases there. I like that courthouse. I like that jury pool.
Well, now
highly intelligent jury pool, by the way.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Santa Clara
has
the
brightest.
Yeah, that's. But there's another case that also kind of intrigues me. Gary, you and I had done this before, and it was out of Buffalo, New York, right, Gary?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We'll play the video here to refresh everyone's memory. But this is a protester who got into it with some cops, and he got up in their faces while they were in a kind of riot formation, I would say. And
yeah, people remember this. It went viral a couple of years ago or a year and a half ago, although I take a very unpopular stance on this. But he walked at the cops. He was grabbing around for the cops a little bit. I don't know. Now, I don't know what side of the holster the cop wears the gun on, but I guess you could, if he wears it on his right hip, you could make the argument that his hand was kind of, the older gentleman's hand was kind of around it.
So the reason we show this, and then you can talk, wait, what's your unpopular opinion?
Don't fuck with cops.
Yeah, okay.
Just get out of their fucking face.
Okay, well, you and the...
Because they can do stupid things.
Well, not only can they do it, but you could have been the arbitrator in this case. You might remember a number of people resigned. They suspended the two officers who ended up pushing him. Gary, they just reinstated the officers with pay, and the arbitrator ruled. Gary, do you have some of these quotes?
Yes, I do. The
written now, by arbitrator Adam Carolla.
They pushed him. I don't know, the guy was in his 70s. He was a little bit 75, frail.
Yeah.
He sort of marched toward the cops, but then he stopped. So right. It wasn't, posing a danger. But his right hand kind of flailed around the other. He was standing in front of one cop, but his right hand kind of flailed around the other cop's waistline. And so that cop pushed him, and he went down
hard,
and he bonked his head, and he was bleeding. The shove, we'd have to watch it again, Gary, but the shove didn't seem that aggressive. It just seemed like he was elderly and maybe back on his heels a little bit.
Okay, you really did write the arbitration.
Walks toward him, he's doing a thing. His hands kind of, what are you doing? He gets pushed as he's going backwards. Doesn't take much. Knocks him down, knocks him out. Some of the cops sort of stop. One of the two. Starts radioing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did the...
So the victim, the gentleman who encountered the police is named Gugino. That's his last name. It says here, quote, Gugino, after the force was applied to him, appears to have not been able to keep his balance for reasons that might well have had as much to do with the fact that he was holding objects in each hand or his advanced age, Selchik said. Selchik being the arbitrator.
Selchik, a.k.a. Adam Carolla.
Well, it's all true. I mean, there's no doubt if that guy was 19, the push probably wouldn't have taken him down. But then the question is, well, of course, doesn't the cop have to assess that in his level of energy when pushing away?
If you
away?
Look at that video, that cop reaches over. It's like, it reminds me of when my brothers and I were young and we were fighting over food on the table. I mean, it was like my brother Mike reaching across the table to grab chicken wings.
Mm-hmm. Well, he got to him.
Yeah.
Because I've seen
he
Mike.
He got the wing. You've seen Mike. There you go. See, look at him.
Got to those
he got
wings.
The wings.
He may have got some cornbread, too.
There's one other quote here if you guys are interested.
Yes, please. Was it, he said, pass the gravy?
The officers had not violated the department's guidelines, Mr. Selchuk wrote, and there was no evidence that they, quote, had any other viable option other than to move Gugino out of the way of their forward movement, unquote. Mr. Gugino, he added, had not complied with an order, quote, to move back and was making odd physical gestures within a foot of the officers.
Well, also, this is also during the height of Portland and Chop City and lootings and fires and people like jumping on cop cars and stuff like that. Now, to be fair, because I know how you think, I was somewhat corrupted by turning on the news every night and downtown Santa Monica's taken over and people are bashing in the window of the sporting goods store. I was saturated with people on the street sort of fucking with cops, and you know, I was the call the fucking National Guard, get these people off the streets, they're starting fires, they're burning the CVS down.
That was you.
It was me. So I was like, hey, old timer, when you walk at the cops and they're telling you to disperse and your hands are flailing about, you're gonna get shoved. And my mindset, if this was more on an island, you know what I mean, if there wasn't towns burning and looting and all this sort of mayhem and chaos, I probably would have been a little more sympathetic to this
guy. To the 75-year-old guy? Because you're not, you haven't hit 60 yet.
So once you
get up into the 60s and the 70s, you have a different view of this.
My feeling with cops is I make everyone else's argument, which is I don't trust them that much to make great decisions. I think they can be a little impulsive. I think that I feared for my life thing is this universal umbrella that can be spread out as wide as the Grand Canyon. And for those reasons, I don't want to give them any opportunity to use any show force on me.
You've taken the lecture to heart, which is deal with it late, which is my driving motto, is all, you know, they're in charge out in the field. After this is all over, I'll have my day in court and then we'll see who's in charge.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm not defending cops. I'm defending me. I don't want to get
maced. There's self-preservation.
Yes.
So in your defense, because, you know, I have told many people over the last 8 years that we've done this, and that you do have the ability to prophesize, and you say you kind of downplay that humbly and say it could, your expression is it could go no other way.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw a story this week that, Gary, I know that I didn't warn you about this, but it happened in a prison, and Gary, you want to set this up, Gary? Because when I read this story, I just shook my head. I was going to call you, but I didn't want to bug you because I knew you were doing something important. And
I replied to your sending me the story, quote, it can go no other way.
I'll let Gary.
I don't have this one right in front of me, but the broad strokes are that there is a prison in New Jersey where they are allowing those who identify as the sex that they prefer to cohabitate with that sex, and now we have
females. It's a female prison,
and now
they house 57 transgender,
something in the high 50s, and
who
now
have not had reassignment surgery.
Correct, and
right
now we have
so
three
guess
pregnancies.
What happens?
Three pregnancies.
Yeah.
Well, I say it can go no other way in this humans. You know, it's dogs on an airplane. It's tax shelters for rich guys. You know. This is how human beings work. They look for openings and they exploit those openings. So everyone wants to travel with their dog for free. So they get a note from the doctor saying it's emotional support animal. And then they're on the fucking Southwest flight with you. And they do the same thing. He said to any able-bodied male, would you rather be housed amongst the males at this facility?
Who are going to be the pitchers, or do you want to be the pitcher? And,
right. You get your chance at being a top for a change.
Hold on. I want to explore that. Truebill, wonder why free trials renew without your consent? You know, there's got to be something there. It's a scam, obviously.
Yes.
Don't let corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. It's a great idea. It's an app, Truebillas, that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, you don't want, or simply forgot about. That's my problem. I forget about them. On average, get this, people save up to $720 a year. Truebill, what is that? Like four Don Julio doubles, $720 a year. And the Truebill has helped 2 million plus users save over $100 million.
Wow.
Wow. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. Tap that app. The, you know, my, yes, Gary's laughing when I say tap that app.
That's funny.
In my experience, I did it because I kept getting the goddamn LA Times renewed.
Ah.
And it struck me because this week is the one-year anniversary of that rag doing a hit job, the editorial board on Drew.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not want to contribute $7.99, right, Gary?
Yeah, you can't have that. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/doubt. Go right now, Truebill.com/doubt. It could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/doubt.
Wait, before I go back to transgender, let me just talk about Drew for a sec. Mm. A year ago, Catherine Barger, who is one of the more sensible politicians that we have in the state of California and certainly in the county of Los Angeles, had proposed having Drew sit as one of several people on a homelessness council.
Yes, for free.
Remember, for free, exactly, to volunteer. And the Times came out and just did a hit job on him. I reread it today because it popped up on my one-year anniversary thing. And when you read it, it's astonishing.
I got to say, sorry for cutting you off, but this stuff, like fine wine, gets better with age. You know, go back to, you know, May of 2020. Watch the put upon CNN reporter on Daytona Beach going, what are these people doing walking on the, they're not even, that guy's not even social distance over there. He's holding hands. He's walking on the, and you go, wow. Like when I saw the time, I went, this person's a nut. But when you watch it now, you give it a year and a half or 2 years down, it becomes surreal at a certain point.
I read it this morning and it was like, you guys are clinically psycho. I mean, to see what has happened in the last year in Los Angeles, and it's certainly, you know, you adopt the LA Times motif, and that's why we are where we are, and they sound like shrieking, just kind of lunatics
or shrinking violets. Yeah, they sound like lunatics, and also whatever it is, you know, and we've all gone through this with the COVID. It's like sort of mask between bites and ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and Dr. Drew. The most they are is inert. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like if you work for the editorial staff of the Los Angeles Times and someone says, Dr. Drew is volunteering for the task force to concentrate on homelessness, you should be like, oh, what's he? Well, he's clinically, he's board certified, he's addiction medicine.
He's an addiction specialist. And by the way, oh, you mean that would mean that maybe somebody would test our hypothesis that this has something to do with?
Yeah, your only answer could be Godspeed.
Yeah.
I have very strong opinions about this. I'm very much against physicians volunteering. You hate doctors without borders as well? Like, what about a doctor who goes to Ethiopia, fixes a hair lip? Is that okay with you, Your Highness? Or is that good? Oh, you applaud that. What about a local guy trying to help the addiction problem?
And by the way, boy, LA Times, your solutions have really worked well last year.
What was their beef with Drew?
Their beef with Drew is that he was a COVID denier who, you know, is – I mean, it was like if you – I wish I had printed it out. Gary might find it. It was so comical that it would not have made the cut at Saturday Night Live. It was just that bad. And – fast forward to today, to your point, is all I can think. Well, they certainly haven't solved any issue. In fact, it's demonstrably worse, except where places where the sheriff has gone in and cleaned up, where LAPD won't or can't. Mm-hmm. And what if they had actually let him stay on there and implemented some of his nuanced, brilliant thoughts on how to deal with the problem?
Well, the problem's all addiction, And you can't even start scratching at the problem because they're arguing with you over what the problem is. The problem...
I can read you a few graphs that'll get you going.
Yeah, because it's... I mean, Gary, were you as astonished now as you read it as me?
I was astonished at the time. I know that we all are. We're too close to them. Let's see here. It says that the LAHS, which is, the homeless committee he was being nominated for, is no place for Pinsky, a physician, addiction specialist, and TV, radio, and podcast pundit who has positioned himself as a truth-telling expert with a knack for cutting through the liberal nonsense supposedly spouted by politicians and the news media. Such
sounds like a perfect home.
I was going to say, where better do you want?
Such nonsense once included the notion that COVID-19 was something to worry about. The disease, he assured his audience in February 2020, was nothing more than the flu, and the concern about it amounted to a press-induced panic. The supposed nonsense also includes the belief that people shouldn't face years in prison for possessing small amounts of illegal drugs. Prop 47 is murder, Pinsky said, referring to the 2014 ballot measure that helped change the punishment-based approach to substance abuse and addiction and allocated savings from the reduced prison costs to drug treatment and other non-carceral approaches.
Right. And mind you, I disagreed in real time with Drew on Prop 47. And I will tell you now that Drew is right. I was wrong. I mean, there are parts of it doesn't need to be thrown out totally, but it needs to be reworked. And I think that's kind of anybody who's in the criminal justice system has kind of come to that conclusion that there has to be a stick and a carrot in order to make it work at a certain point because it's not going to work otherwise.
Well, as I quoted the Times editorial piece in my book, last book I did, I think, I'll be your emotional support animal.
Not in 7 years while I'll be chicks.
Yeah. There, I you must find this. Is a guy who gets paid a princely sum to argue. When their editorial board did a piece about 2 years ago that was going against, it was going against teachers being armed in the classroom or custodians being armed or so on and so forth. And a lot of people were saying, hey, with these school shootings, many of the tactics to avoid the school shootings was like, we'll give the teacher a bucket of gravel and he can just throw gravel at the guy with the gun. You know, it was all insanity, right? It wasn't going to stop anything. So, of course, somebody probably from Florida or Texas said, well, what if we let concealed carry permit? What if we had some of these teachers with guns? And a version of that sounded reasonable to me. Like the guy was ex-military training, whatever, certified.
And my biology teacher in ninth grade, Bill Lucart, was a off-duty sheriff. And he was a basketball coach.
Well, I
think he did carry.
Well, that was my whole thing. By law, in many states, the off-duty guys need to carry the gun. And we've all seen the scene in the bank heist movie where everyone's laying on the floor and the one guy's going, I'm LAPD. He's wearing plain clothes. You go, good, good. We hope that guy. Look, let me just ask you this. If somebody was going to go into a school and your child was in that class and they were going to shoot up that class, would you hope for just any given Tuesday and Professor Thumb in the ass with the box of gravel, or would you hope it was career day and there happened to be a cop in there who had a piece on him? Like, what would you hope for your child? Now, if the answer is, I hope it's a cop on career day, then good. So my argument was sort of like, look, I'm not saying we should drop guns off to all the home ec teachers, but if somebody has training or military background or something like that, then you get them certified or whatever, then you go through some training. And then you know if the shit goes down, there are three or four guys around here on this campus that actually could fire back instead of everyone climb under a desk and wait for 20 minutes for the cops to show up, who, by the way, don't enter for another hour and a half once they show up. Okay, fine. The LA Times editorial board said arming teachers, what good would that do? And they said, so instead of 13 kids dead, there's 6 kids dead, or there's 3 kids dead. What difference would it make? And I was like, you idiots are arguing against your point in your own editorial.
I know.
I believe their direct quote was, if three children were killed instead of nine. That'd be what? Better?
Yeah. Well, for the six kids that were still
and their
breathing,
families,
I'd say
that'd be a little better. 66% better.
66% better.
And people wonder.
That's when I was like, all right, LA Times, you don't even know how to make you shit on your own points.
That's what I mean. It is absolutely astonishing. What there is no floor, if you will, to their journalistic ineptitude, and it's from the editorial. You know, there's guys like Richard Winton who are great. Richard is a great writer, and there's others that I could tick off. I mean, you know, back in the day, T.J. Simers was I always thought a great columnist, and right, Gary's shaking his head.
Yeah, absolutely. Read the paper,
right,
sir.
And but what it is deteriorated into is this tabloidization of it's almost a caricature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Let
so
me
do
speaking
do
of
one,
which,
and then we got.
I'm
going to
do one because Audible. Ooh. Audible. As long as we're talking reading or listening, 2022 is all about making positive change. Audible. Your destination for wellness, inspiration to create new goals, unwind, or simply be entertained. Enjoy all your audio entertainment in one app. You'll always find the best of what you love or something new to discover. I highly recommend, by the way, disclosure, it's financially lucrative to me. Mistrial, read by Awesome Dawson, and he does a masterful job of narrating that. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month, did I mention Mistrial, to keep from the entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.co/RD or text RD to 500-500. That's audible.co/RD or text RD to 500-500. Now,
right.
Next story up is one that is captured. You know that Ukraine is on the downside of media extravaganza. You know why? Because I'm now getting calls from Fox to appear and talk about the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial.
Right, yeah.
I can always tell, like 9/11, the first thing that broke through was Winona Ryder, you know, the shoplifting. After these things, you can always tell when we go, when we make the right turn or left turn to celebrity justice, then I know, and my phone gets starts ringing, I know that they have decided that we've beat the horse into the ground and now we've got to move on.
Yeah, I get it too, which is I'm always the sort of comic relief on some of those Fox shows. And you can't have the Brillo-headed jokes there show up 3 days after the genocide that's going on in Ukraine. Right. But at some point, we go, it's time to laugh
it's
again.
It's time to bring Adam back on so we can crack up. So Gary has got – so for those who don't know it, this is a defamation lawsuit brought by Johnny Depp. He's the plaintiff. He's suing Amber Heard, who was apparently – we'll see later in the case. Apparently bringing Elon Musk, who we'll talk about on Twitter.
How does a defamation lawsuit work when you do not mention the name, the company, the entity? But, you know, like if you said, like, let's just say I ran Coca-Cola for 11 years, you know, and then I did an interview going, you know, one of the former company, some of the companies I've worked for, they were racist, you know, but I never said Coca-Cola. Is that a tough cut?
You are exactly what the point I was going to make, because it's a 2018 editorial. I want to say she wrote the op-ed for the Washington Post, and I believe that was printed, if you will, in Virginia. So they're in a Virginia court. Do I have this right, Gary?
Correct. December 18th of 2018, Washington Post.
She did not... Amber, in her op-ed, did not mention him, but basically said, as a domestic violence survivor.
Right.
Now, before I make – I've got a whole argument here. But remember, Johnny Depp is the one who brought this case.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow it made it to trial. That's a we'll do a separate beyond a reasonable doubt because I'm with you. I don't understand how this got to trial. Number one, legally, I also don't understand how the lawyers didn't kind of tell Depp this was a fool's errand no matter what you do. But Gary, there's two witnesses. Let's do the therapist first because this is a witness called by Johnny Depp's lawyers who was a, and apparently had done 21 therapy sessions with the two of them. So, all right.
Is it your testimony that while Mr. Depp may have said he wasn't violent with any of his other partners, there was violence between from Mr. Depp toward Amber, correct?
Yes, you're right. He had been well controlled, I think, for almost, I don't know, 20, 30 years. And both were victims of abuse in their homes. But I thought he had been well controlled for decades. And then with Ms. Heard, he was triggered. And they engaged in what I saw as mutual abuse.
By the way, this is a taped deposition that they played. And for those of you who think it's Lily Tomlin a couple of decades ago, it's not. She's a therapist who treated them. They took the deposition.
This is the prosecution. This is Depp's.
Depp's. He put this on instead of calling her as a witness, which you can do on unavailability or by stipulation, I suppose. And she now has opened up the idea that he was violent in the past, as you already gleaned from this, that she triggers him, and then Gary will play the rest, and you'll see what I'm talking about, why this has the Streisand effect.
I know she led on more than one occasion and started it to keep him with her because abandonment and having him leave was her worst nightmare. And I think he may have initiated it on occasions too. That I'm less sure on.
Right.
So why would his attorney
if I'm representing you in some kind of, we won't use Lynette, we'll use some ex-girlfriend of yours who'd written an op-ed about you weren't funny. Okay. And you, even though it wasn't you, said, you know, I've dated guys who weren't funny. And you said, come here, we're going to file a lawsuit. And you're sitting on to my right, counsel table. And I put this on where it says, well, yeah, I've had 21 sessions with him. And a lot of times he wasn't that funny.
Right.
And wouldn't you just kind of elbow me and say, this is our evidence?
It's a push at best.
Right.
Except for the problem with the push is whenever there's a male and a female and there's domestic violence, then the hat tip always goes to the male because they have an extra 30 pounds of muscle on the female. So you can't even really do the coin toss on domestic. Well, she started some and then he started some and then she did this and then he did that. The jury still takes the side of the woman because the male is a larger specimen.
And I just don't understand the point of that. I mean, I really don't. But
if you didn't get what you wanted from the therapist, like I could see, well, let's just go ahead and film her and see what she says.
Right.
But once you don't get what you want, which was that, why do you feel compelled to air it or to bring it in front of the jury? And or are you compelled to
no,
do it?
And by the way, why would you lead with that? I mean, this was on day one or day two of testimony, day two.
So it doesn't look good for Depp.
Oh, we got another clip, but I think Mark would like you to do a spot, and then we'll come back with it.
All right.
And then we'll talk some racing, because I know you can't get out of here without some racing.
Got to talk racing. Mack Weldon. Want to look your best this spring? Mack Weldon. They're the experts on stylish essentials, perfect for the season. Upgrade your sweats and grab gear that stands up to changing weather. Daily wear system, all the clothes work together, so they're all made to work in unison. Whether you're going to work or you're going on a run or just hanging out on the couch, getting dressed takes almost no effort. Ace Collection, not your average sweats. I live in mine. They're so comfortable, such an upgrade from what you're used to. Insanely soft, nice enough to wear to the store or cruise around the neighborhood. New Atlas jogger, half zip and full zip jacket, built for success, rain or shine, with comfortable, water-resistant, eco-responsible fabric. It's Mack Weldon, right, Gary?
That's absolutely right. Check out Mack Weldon for yourself and save 20% on your first order. Visit MackWeldon.com/doubt and enter promo code doubt. Again, that's MackWeldon.com/doubt and enter promo code doubt for 20% off. Find your perfect look for the spring.
Okay, now we've got one other witness testimony. That this guy's name is, I think, Baruch?
I believe it's, Isaac Baruch.
This guy's his friend from high school or something? A childhood friend or something?
They are certainly longtime friends. He has been living rent-free in Depp's properties for years. They're very close friends.
Oh, really?
This is the Cato Kaelin of this.
Reminds me a little of your brother.
Yeah, he's got a mic thing going on.
Mm-hmm. In fact, some of the context for this testimony, he's being kicked out of a downtown L.A. penthouse because Depp is having to sell it as a result of the divorce, but he's being moved into a Hollywood Hills home as a result. So not a rough life for this guy. All right, here we go.
Do you recall Mr. Depp ever telling you that he hoped that Amber Heard's rotting corpse is decomposing in the fucking trunk of a Honda Civic?
Objection. I'll allow it.
Yeah.
You can answer the question, sir.
Yeah, I say, yeah, I'm seeing it here. So obviously, yeah, it was said.
When you had to move out of the penthouse to go to Sweetser, do you recall Mr. Depp telling you that this was Amber's fault and referring to her as a cunt?
That's not what he says. He says that cunt ruined such a fucking cool life we had for a while. I don't know.
Says, I can't even look at the building anymore, correct?
Right, I can't even look at the building
anymore.
And
he's selling it, right?
Exactly.
Okay, thank you.
By the way, if you give me a choice whether I could be on the Derek Chauvin trial or this one,
yeah,
take this one every day and Sunday. That would be the greatest juror of this trial.
By the way, I love the distinguishing. I didn't call her a cunt.
Right.
I said that cunt. I referred to her as a cunt, which is, I understand that there is a difference.
Who brought that witness?
Johnny Depp.
Why?
I'm telling you, something is off. I really want to talk to his lawyer, but there's no way I'm going to interrupt him in the middle of this trial. But I've just been amazed by this. This is just, to me, the fact that it got to trial is amazing. But then this is on steroids in terms of what the hell is going on here.
Well, Amber Heard doesn't have any money, or at least deep pockets.
Correct.
I'm assuming.
Well, she certainly doesn't have $50 million.
Well, she was with Elon, right? But they were like boyfriend, girlfriend, or they get married.
Yeah, no, they were just boyfriend, girlfriend.
Okay, so she didn't.
He was just taking the elevator to the penthouse
where this guy was
living now.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, you know, she doesn't have real deep pockets, right?
Right.
So you're not going to sit down and she's not going to cut him a check to settle this during arbitration or something
I highly doubt, I could be wrong. But I highly doubt, if I was going to bet, that these lawyers are working on a contingency.
No, they cannot be on a contingency.
I just and
would
if
never
it's,
take this case.
No, in a million years on a contingency. And by the way, if he said, I want to pay you by the hour.
Well, how could you take it on contingency if she doesn't have $50 million?
You think there's insurance somewhere. Or
really?
You think that somehow that she's being covered or somebody's paying the bills from insurance. I've had cases where insurance will defend, but they'll do it under a reservation of rights. They'll pay for the defense, but not necessarily the judgment. But
what kind of insurance could she have had?
Homeowners sometimes will cover you.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. On a defamation, absolutely.
That seems
but
dubious.
They will defend you, like I say, under a reservation of rights and say, you know, we're going to let discovery come out and we're going to pay for the lawyers, but we always reserve the right to come back later and basically beat the hell out of you.
Wow.
How much homeowners could she possibly be carrying?
The defense is not necessarily, depends on the policy. The policies vary. But if you've got a 100, 300, for instance, 100 per incidence, 300 for the total, you could, the insurance companies are loath to let you do this, you could run up $500,000 in attorney's fees defending against the 100, 300. You would have the speed bump of the insurance company screaming bloody murder along the way saying, hey, we're going to come after you. We're going to do this. We want to settle. We want to throw in the policy, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's the nuances. We could spend, you know, the next year doing reasonable doubts on the nuances of what the insurance companies would do to get off the hook. But they could defend a case like this. The part that drives me crazy is if you're taking this case on an hourly basis, meaning you're the lawyer, and you say, because I always tell clients.
If you're her lawyer. Or his lawyer. His lawyer, sorry.
And he comes in, and what I would tell him, I tell a lot of clients this, look, if I don't want to take your case on a contingency,
that means
I don't think, you know, that right there, that's triage. I don't think your case is worth shit.
Right.
Or it's certainly not worth the amount of time and resources to get to a point where we're going to be compensated. And by the way, there are cases I will take on a contingency if it's some kind of a social cause or just cause that I think makes sense. But this is not that case. And if you build away, if they're a trial and it's a big firm, you're into the millions of dollars. And at a certain point, you've got to say, Mr. Depp, I like you. I like your money. I like paying. But this is a fool's errand.
Yeah. Is this just F me money for him?
Yeah. I mean, okay, I will happily be corrected at some point by one of his lawyers or somebody who knows. If somebody from his camp, I invite you to call in or talk to Gary and we'll put you on. But I do not see where this is, where he has been counseled effectively and knowingly. And if you are at a certain point, and I've done this repeatedly with clients where I've just told them, I'm not going to go any further. I'm not comfortable with this.
Yes.
This is where it ends.
Well, I think it's part of your fiduciary duty to just, you know, you're basically a doctor, and at some point you have to tell them to get their affairs in order, and you can't just keep shipping them to Mexico to get coffee enemas.
You know what I always say to them is, why did you come to my office? Why are you either paying me or compensating me? Mm-hmm. At rates that are, you know, premium, if you're not going to listen to me. And,
right.
I mean, if you don't want to listen to me, fine. Go get a second, third, fourth opinion. Go somewhere else.
When do you think this is going to be wrapped up?
This is, Gary, aren't they estimating 6 weeks?
That's what I've heard,
Six weeks?
Yes!
Well, this is going to be a knockdown dragout. Like, this is crazy. That's why we're highlighting it.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is...
The Kyle Rittenhouse case was 9 days or something, right?
That's what's so insane about this.
It's 6 weeks?
Yeah. Isn't that just wild? And I just don't – I'm sure based on this, after this drops, Gary and I will get people contacting us who want to give us another perspective. But you're going to be hard-pressed to convince me that this is a good use of resources.
There are reports, Adam, that Elon is going to testify in this case.
I've heard that. All right. Cars.
Yes.
Now, Gary, you can look up Showtime Trans Am team or something. Might be able to find the Camaro I'm driving, just to give Mark a taste.
Yes. By the way, this is, for those who didn't listen, go back and refresh the listener's recollection, if you will, which, by the way, I did a refresh. For those lawyers who are listening, mm-hmm. I was in an arbitration hearing. And Ben handed me his phone with article.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to refresh a witness's recollection. She was obviously mm-hmm. not telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an article. It was on the phone, and I handed it to her. And the opposing counsel, who I like, is a very skilled lawyer, said, objection! You're refreshing recollection with a phone! And I said, excuse me, I can refresh recollection with anything I want. I could pull out my credit card and refresh recollection. And I was like astonished. Why are you objecting, first of all? And second of all, do you not like the fact that I'm crushing your witness? Is that why you're objecting? Anyway, to refresh our viewers' recollection, you're driving this weekend, right?
Yes, as you hear us. Maybe you can find some in-car stuff to see what that bad boy's like.
But what year is this car?
It's not really a year because it's just a full tube frame right. car with a fiberglass body laying over it and maybe 900 horsepower and a sequential Jeez. Gear shift and everything. It's insane. It's
900 horsepower. It's not remember only... when you used to think that 200 was incredible? Yeah. I remember those days.
Well, it's not only is it 900 horsepower, but it's 2,700 pounds, which is Jeez. Basically a Volkswagen GTI is 2,700 pounds, but it's got 900 horsepower and it has huge slicks. And the race team, God, where are they coming from? Georgia, Florida, whatever. They're showing up with the cars and the semi trucks and the stackers and the whole nine yards. I'm getting the helmet. I'm trying to get a helmet that has a radio in it now and a tube to take a air blowing tube in there to blow some air into my helmet because it's no bullshit. It's a crazy ass, you know, beast of a vehicle.
So what is the race you're racing in?
It's Trans Am 1, which is the highest division. I think it's 1, 2, and 3. And as you go up the chain,
you're in the big leagues.
Yes, you get more horsepower and more rubber and more everything. I think it may be a 100-mile race. Probably be in the car about 80 minutes or something like that. But that's 80 minutes worth of, you know, it's like going to, you know, Big Thunder Mountain and going down a roller coaster, except for the roller coaster is an hour and a half drop. It's like just you gotta calm yourself.
What do you do to get ready for that? Do you train?
No, I just go. I mean, look, first thing I do is I got to get in that fire suit. I see if I can lose 10 pounds because when you start zipping that thing up the front and it starts pinching a little bit, you feel like the Pillsbury Doughboy trying to get into that thing. It's always a bad day when you're sucking it.
When you're sucking it up for the fire suit
because the zipper goes from your pubic bone up to your Adam's apple, and it's tough sledding for the first 8 inches. So you got to suck that in. Then once you get in the car, you have to go full zen. You have to literally just almost go limp. Any in car anything will be good.
It's going to be in car in a second here. Okay. When I push play,
you get strapped in and netted up and bolted in and hooked up, and you're in such a position that all you can do is just start breathing and just going limp. Like you're going to be in there for.
Yeah, we run a couple laps. Can't see where the balance goes.
Yeah, we can.
201.6.
Yeah, we got some nice music. Can you make it bigger, Gary? Let's see if we can.
Amy's ahead of him with a 201.558.
Is that view accurate?
Yeah, that's the car. That's what it's like.
I mean, that's when you're sitting in it, that's the view you've got.
Oh, yeah. Turn it up. Let's see if we can hear that thing.
Car, Ken, how's
your feel? I'm going mid-bar here.
All right.
But you get it. So what zone you going zen? The intensity for 80 minutes, the focus has got to be off the charts.
I think it will be. Let's hope it is. But you've never been to Laguna Seca, right?
No. Jake is lobbing heavy. All right, well, to go with me.
Let me just say this on behalf of Laguna Seca. Many tracks like Willow Springs or Buttonwill are close. Fontana. Semi-local track. They're just in the middle of some armpit, desert, shitbox, whatever. You don't get the rolling hills and the Monterey coast and 17-mile drive and downtown Monterey and the eateries and the majestically nestled in the California hills above Monterey. Like, it is visually spectacular, and you drive in there and you see all the elevation changes, and it's always 67 degrees with a nice coastal breeze like coming off the bay. It is It's a gorgeous track. It's got the corkscrew and everything up at the
top.
But
everything you just described, you have to set aside when you get into that car.
I would, but you don't have to.
I can sit there and enjoy that while watching you.
They got a private airport. Yeah, it's right there.
What day are you racing?
Saturday's the race. So okay. it'll be practice Thursday, probably qualifying Friday, race Saturday. And they're doing a huge vintage event there too. So not only going to have the modern day Trans Am cars, but tons of vintage stuff too.
Kidding.
So you can check out the old school stuff from your childhood.
Which is what I want to do. What did I send you the other day? Something I saw that had gone for $10 million. And then I found one today. I've been looking, a 997 that went for $500,000. I mean, Porsche is on fire.
Yeah, the street stuff,
I just can't even. You could have bought those cars new for $10,000, and they're going for $500,000 now.
It's an incredible time. All right, Mark, I know you got a heart out, so yeah. I'll do my last read.
Thank you. Give me a plug in absentia. Thank you.
I will. Put them up there. All right, especially for the V. Yeah. Geico, would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. Who doesn't love a deal when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything? Geico can help. Insurance for the car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, and even homeowners, condos, and condo and renters insurance. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance. And it's a no-brainer switching Geico. Switch today. See just how much you could save at geico.com. All right. And go to amcroll.com for all the live shows coming up Indianapolis, Indiana, Helium Comedy Club. That's May 6th and 7th. And then we're coming to Denver, Springfield, Missouri, San Diego. You just go to adamcarolla.com. What do you got, Gary, for Mark?
Well, if you're in Palm Springs, check out the V Hotel and the newly opened Gigi's Restaurant. Ooh. If you're in South Orange County, check out my favorite place in the world, Casa Tropicana Hotel in San Clemente. If you are in Grand Central Terminal, check out Prova Pizza. And if you are in Times Square, check out the newly redesigned Love Pizza. And if you are out in the Hamptons, check out Mark's Hotel out there that I can't remember the name of.
So, until next time, I'm Crow for Mark Aragos and Gary Smith saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.
Stream the biggest movies and TV shows for free on Pluto TV. Watch movies like Titanic and G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra, plus TV shows like CSI and Star Trek The Next Generation. Starting this month, check out the 24/7 Stargate channel exclusively on Pluto TV, plus hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows absolutely free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start watching today.
I'm Jamie Beebe.
And I'm Jake Dipkula. We're the hosts of the Strictly Stalking podcast.
Strictly Stalking is a true crime podcast exploring stalking stories told by the survivors in their own words.
Join us every Tuesday as we interview survivors, advocates, and experts to give you a deep dive into the workings of a true stalking case.
Hear from these survivors as they describe how they fought back, got justice, and lived to tell their story.
Stalking is a crime that can happen to anyone for any reason at any time. Is someone watching you, listening to you, following you, or even hiding in your house? It can happen to you.
Would you know where to turn if you or someone you know has a stalker? We'll give you the resources you need to get help if you're a victim of a stalker.
Find Strictly Stalking wherever you listen to podcasts, from Podcast One.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything? Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance. So it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.